What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
Merry Christmas!
What is this?
Up to Neverland!
Ho, 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 ho! Come in and know me better, man! Ho, ho!
Merry, Merry Christmas! Merry, Merry Christmas! Merry, Merry Christmas!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders, and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think that happiest thought and fly away to Neverland. Yay! Hopefully you can still fly if you're still really full of turkey or whatever it is you decided to eat last Thursday. I hope you're not so overstuffed that you weren't able to fly. Maybe you just need a little bit of extra happy thought. Something like that. I don't know. But you got to make the flight. You got to get here because we're going to have some more fun. And golly, you know, fellas, I swear, I know it's been a week, but it's like I was just talking to you like 2 minutes ago. We have Lost Boy Philip and Lost Boy Eric back again. Hello!
Hello!
Howdy!
And yeah, I swear, this week just flew right by, didn't it? My goodness. Yeah, and can you believe what happened on The Mandalorian? Oh my goodness, wasn't that something?
Well, you know, I do want to point out, it was directed by Dave Filoni. He wrote the story for it, and, you know, it's one of the longest episodes we've had this season. So, you know, we had to have been expecting that.
Yeah, I was completely shocked, though, but I was expecting it. I was expecting to be shocked, but I was shocked more than I was expecting.
Hey, all I can say is, this is the way.
This is the way.
Absolutely. And, you know, and Dave Filoni apparently has said, I have spoken, so...
We are the three biggest baloney artists you're going to hear in a podcast this week. So we'll just see who all listened to last week's episode to know why we're being stupid and funny. So, but we actually have a lot of fun stuff to talk about this week. There's a lot of things we didn't get to last week that I want to jump into. So it's sort of old trailers, but also... Eric is going to share. He got to ride Mickey's Runaway Railway. He got to make a lightsaber. So he's got some stories to share. We're going to have some audio of it. So we're going to have some great Disney fun. We hope you enjoyed your turkey day. But now as we get into the Christmas season, it's time to have even more fun. Yay!
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so the first big thing that that I actually want to bring up that I thought was kind of fun is the game has actually dropped. already, but I saw the trailer like on the same day that the game was being released. Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity. Now, I recall Nintendo had their conference. I want to say, I'm not sure that it was, I don't think I'd moved into this house yet. But I remember them showing like a sequel to Breath of the Wild that had Zelda seem to be playable. And what it appears to be is this Age of Calamity, it looks more like a prequel with Zelda and Link and some of the other warriors that are supposed to be part of Breath of the Wild that were having the big guardian machines that were supposed to save the world and failed.
Well, almost, kind of, sort of. Breath of the Wild 2 is, to my knowledge, still in production and has yet to be released. So this new Hyrule Warriors game, Age of Calamity, is something that takes place at that time when they're getting ready to utilize the Divine Beast, when they found the Guardians and they're ready to activate them. And we find out just how Hyrule fell, leading to the events of Breath of the Wild. So I don't think that we're yet looking at the sequel. There's been very little information released about that, but I don't think that the sequel is directly related to this new game.
I still need to finish Breath of the Wild. I keep getting sidetracked because, you know, with Breath of the Wild is very, very different in that you don't have story beats that you're constantly hitting like a normal Zelda game as it's developed. It's more back like towards the original Zelda where you have some story, now you're just going to wander and find stuff, except for it's a much bigger, expansive world. And I must say, I get a little tired of having to put my weapons back together when they keep breaking and having to find new weapons. So I didn't quite finish, plus I really got sidetracked. Everybody knows Final Fantasy VII Remake. I kind of got obsessed with that one and played the dickens out of that thing. And I have so many other games to play that eventually I'm going to finish Breath of the Wild. I am determined. And I did pick it up about a month ago and played around a little bit. I forgot what I was trying to do, but I know I've wandered into another one of the shrines and I got stuck in a shrine again. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to come back to this. So I'm in a shrine right now. But Eric, you finished it and you're actually just collecting up side quests now?
Yeah. In fact, I've really got, maybe three side quests, and they're not all official side quests. The one official side quest that I have yet to complete is part of the DLC content called The Trial of the Sword, where you do pick up the Master Sword at one point in the game, but it's lost its power. It breaks. It's not quite as powerful as it has been in other Zelda games. Well, what Trial of the Sword does, it doesn't take away the fact that the sword loses its power over a specific amount of time, but it allows you to add power to it so that as you're attacking, your hits will have a much higher hit count. But in order to do this, you've basically got to get into a part of the game where all of your weapons are taken away from you, all of your armor. You basically start off with just yourself and any of the shrine skills that you've picked up, like Magnesis or the being able to stop time and creating bombs. You have those powers with you.
That's good.
But you basically start from nothing and you go level by level to try and get power back for the Master Sword. And if you get killed, you go all the way back to the beginning.
Oh, it's kind of like I think Twilight Princess had a level like this, and I think even Ocarina of Time had a little area like that, where it's like a trial that you can keep going, and the further you go, the more little rewards you get, but you fail, and you're out, and you got to start over.
Exactly. You know, there is an island on, as part of the regular quest within the game that does that, but, you know, once you can open up the shrine on that island, it's done and over with. This, again, you take one hit and you got to start right from the back. And there's at least, I think, something like 30 to 50 different levels that you have to go through.
Woo!
But it's fun. But like I said, that's one of the main things. There's other little quests that aren't official quests, like finding treasures and collecting Korok seeds. I'm using air quotes with that.
Right. Yes. For anyone that knows, you know what we're talking about.
Please tell me that they use the quotes from the cartoon throughout this, throughout every single level. Well, excuse me, this.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, Korok, but that doesn't look like a seed.
No, it doesn't. But aside from those items, I completed every side quest, completed every shrine quest, completed every major quest. Of course, you can defeat Ganon, but it takes you back to a point in the game before that so that you can keep playing the game. Mm-hmm. So it never actually officially says that you've destroyed Ganon. But it's been a lot of fun. I played most of the game back when quarantine began, as I had just put it to the side, and, well, I had the joystick drift issue, and I finally got a professional controller to play it without worrying about joystick drift. I played through most of the game, but I thought a couple weeks ago, you know, I'll go back through here and let me try and finish up the rest of these quests that have just been sitting since I, you know, I've already completed everything.
I'll come back to it as soon as my wife's done playing with Stardew Valley, which could never happen because she's just run off with the Switch, pretty much.
Well, my daughter took off with mine when Animal Crossing came out.
Yeah, so. I gotta get that one. That one looks like a lot of fun.
It is, but I've still got several other games that I'm waiting to play. I'm waiting to get permission to get Spider-Man Miles Morales. I've got the Incredibles Lego game to go through. I just finished the Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 game last month, which was a lot of fun.
I never finished that first one. I got distracted. There was some other big game I think that came out and that pulled me away from it, and so I never finished. But that first one's fun.
Yeah, in fact, I actually got found a really cheap digital version because PlayStation does these sales.
Mm-hmm.
About every 2 months it comes out for like $5, and so I got it this last time it was around. So I'm looking forward to playing that. I also played through the Lego Avengers game, which was also a lot of fun. Those Lego games, they're just fun, they're mindless, it's good to get away, and you know, you don't have to worry about any adult themes in them, I guess
one
could say.
Yeah. Yeah, Philip and I have actually been having fun playing the, there's a G.I. Joe we've talked about before on the show, and then the Cobra Kai game by Digital Mill? What is the name of that company?
General Mills. No, I'm kidding. Green Mill.
Green, yeah, which we definitely recommend. Those have been a lot of just mindless fun as well, very light type of games. But here at home, I'm still, you know, because it was October, I had to go play some Resident Evil. So I got some achievements on the PlayStation for Resident Evil 4. Even though I've played Resident Evil 4 so many times on the GameCube, I got to play the HD version on the PS4 this year. But now I've switched back to playing Horizon Zero Dawn. I am determined to finish that one. I finally hit where the story picks up, and so now I'm very invested in that game. I gotta say, it does remind me a little of Breath of the Wild, except for my weapons are not breaking, but you can upgrade your weapons, and you have bags that you can upgrade so you can carry more weapons or more different types of armor based upon, you know, for situations. Like if you're in a cold area, there's stuff for cold, there's things that help your stealth be better. I mean, there's so many different items you can pick up and you can harvest things. It's somewhere between Breath of the Wild and The Witcher 3 so far, the way this thing plays, with a lot of stealth thrown in, because everything is more powerful than you are, basically. So you want to use a good stealth thing to take down these machines. And it is some brilliant sci-fi, because this, you don't even know how far into the future this is after the machines have wiped out a lot of humanity, and humanity has been reset and is more tribal. But it's fun when you come across the ruins of buildings or the ruins of parking meters or the ruins of cars that are like so rusted they've become artifacts. It has just really been an amazing... The environment and stuff is amazing, and I was enjoying it before, but I wasn't really getting into it, so I was easily getting distracted to play other games. But now I've hit the story mode, really, after you have this thing called the Proving that happens, and something happens there that now I'm very invested in this story, and I'm having a great time. It'll be a while before I finish with that one, but after that I've got 3 Far Cry games that I own that I've never gotten to play with. I've got 1 Just Cause game, so I'm going to be playing some violent first-person games. and I even found a definitive edition of the remake of Tomb Raider, and I thought, well, let me try it out, because I did play the old Tomb Raider games, and the control was very frustrating on those, and I thought, well, I'm not really a big Lara Croft fan, but maybe this will make me into one. Who knows? So I'm going to try that. So I got a lot of games on the PS4, and then by the time I'm done with all these, maybe the PS5 will be somewhere affordable for me, and that's when I'm going to get the Miles Morales game, because I want to play it on the PS5.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe they might even have some actual PS5s available.
Right.
I'm planning on getting one this spring. I'm planning on saving up to get one. I'm thinking about getting Mortal Kombat, just because I want to play as Rambo.
Yeah.
I actually dreamed, however you want to say it, I dreamt the other night of that there was a First Blood game. That's my fault. My fault. I was looking up First Blood stuff, and I dreamt that there was a First Blood game where you played as both Brian Dennehy's character, chasing him down, and then I dreamt that you was, of course, Rambo, John J. Rambo.
Yeah.
And you were hunting down the men. And I woke up thinking, crud, I wish that was real. I would love to play that game.
It's not over yet, Philip. Nothing is over. Nothing.
Okay. I learned something about First Blood this week, though. If you look in Brian Dennehy's office, he's got three medals framed in the background. He had served, his character had served honorably in the Korean War. Mm-hmm. And that leads to some of his issues with John Rambo.
Yeah, because of Vietnam. And
right.
He had, and I only knew that because I was watching a special in which, in the book, that was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. In the book, he died, talking about John
right,
Rambo.
Yeah.
And they filmed that. I'm glad they didn't go with that, though, because, boy, we would have missed out on... No, I'm not talking about the movies. We would have missed out on the really awesome Rambo thing that not everybody talks about, which is the cartoon,
of course. The Force of Freedom.
Well, I'm sure that Sylvester Stallone was happy they didn't do the death scene.
Oh, yeah. Think all the money you would have missed out on.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. The 80s wouldn't have been the 80s that we know of if it hadn't been for the movie Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Right.
Helen, we would have also missed out on a great scene in UHF.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that movie in forever. Oh, goodness. Okay, well, moving off of R-rated movies, because we know that's what this podcast is about, is R-rated movies, which is why I'm not going to mention, by the way, Lethal Weapon 5 was confirmed, but yes, so I'll just throw that out there.
Lethal Weapon 4 was PG-13.
Was it? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got all the movies. I can't wait for a fifth one. I've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah. I was meaning to glance on this and keep going, so we're not talking underrated films on our family-friendly podcast. But I want to go through that. Okay, there is a new Pink Panther movie coming out from the director of Sonic the Hedgehog and the co-writer of Bad Boys for Life, writing the script. They're doing this for MGM. This is Jeff Fowler, the director of Sonic the Hedgehog, and Chris Brammer, who co-wrote Bad Boys for Life. Now, I didn't see Bad Boys for Life, but I did see Sonic the Hedgehog, and I really did love the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. But this appears to be some sort of a reboot. Now, I don't know if they're going to try to, like, you know, because I saw the Steve Martin ones, and they were okay, the Steve Martin Pink Panther. I've never seen the original films, but I don't know if they want to do, like, some continuing adventures of Inspector Clouseau, or if they're going to go back and try to reboot the whole thing altogether.
Well, one thing I have heard about this reboot, and maybe I misread what I had seen, but considering who they have as a director, it looked to me like they were doing a movie with a CG Pink Panther.
That would actually be fun.
I didn't know you were going to say that, but I was actually thinking to myself, you really cannot beat the original, you know, Peter Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is nothing against all the men who filled those shoes, because a lot of men did. And a couple did a pretty good job. But that being said, I kept thinking to myself, they really ought to try to put the character Pink Panther at some point in there. Not that I would love it if they did try to get Clouseau, the character Clouseau, in there, because he was also in the cartoon. And if they got Clouseau with the cartoon character, that'd be interesting. But, you know, that we've already done the Pink Panther movies, you know, maybe that's something new. So this is a good idea, I think, if they do it right.
Well, here's what I just found this now on the Hollywood Reporter. They say sources tell the Hollywood Reporter that while plot details are being kept in a vault, the story will focus on a smooth operating inspector who, thanks to a traumatic event, now has a Pink Panther for an imaginary friend. Uh-huh. And the latter, who doesn't speak, does help solve the case.
Ah.
So it will be similar to the Sonic the Hedgehog movie in that way, I guess. Except for the Pink Panther will not speak. Yes, and Detective Pikachu. Big time Detective Pikachu, which I did enjoy that movie as well. Which I've heard something that they are thinking about maybe doing a sequel to Detective Pikachu, but I don't know how they make that work. If you saw
Detective
the movie.
Psyduck?
Psy-yi-yi.
You know who'd be an interesting Clouseau if they did it? Getting his name right now. Rowan Atkinson.
Well, he's got his own spy type movies, and they're saying that they want a smooth one, so I bet they're going to cast The Rock.
No.
Or Ryan Reynolds.
No. Man, doggone you.
Supposed to be the same Clouseau. This is supposed to be a smooth talking Clouseau who has a traumatic accident and suddenly imagines a Pink Panther.
Oh, well, that might be true.
So
it would be funny if he was smooth at first and then went off and became the Clouseau we know.
After a traumatic accident, he becomes kind of stupid, but his brilliant brain is still wandering around and thinking of himself as a Pink Panther, so.
Oh,
get Adrian Monk for this, man. That's who you get. Tony Shalhoub.
Liam Neeson.
Oh, Liam Neeson would be great. I'd watch that.
That would be funny.
So speaking of new games, so the company IOI or IO Interactive, which I find it funny that very similar to Ready Player One, their logo kind of looks like a TIE fighter, which I think it is on purpose in Ready Player One. But anyways, they're the ones behind the rebooted Hitman games, which are kind of like a spy assassin. But they're working on a project. They're called right now. It's just Project 007, but it is a James Bond game. That is coming. We don't know any more much about it, but being created by IO Interactive, I bet they'll probably focus on like the book style of James Bond, where he is a government assassin, because those Hitman games really do feel like a James Bond type of movie, because you have to infiltrate and disguise yourself, and I suck at Hitman. I bought it because I was like, this looks really cool, but I am terrible.
Well, here's what you do. You choose Odd Job and the Golden Gun.
There you go. So hopefully James Bond will be as immersive as the Hitman games, but not be as challenging, because I'm terrible. I always get myself discovered and end up getting killed and getting a big... Yeah. But James Bond has been known in films to be able to go in guns blazing and just never get shot with anything, you know. So I wouldn't mind that as well. Let me go in with a golden gun and start popping people. Like, that's right, Bond, James Bond, I am shaken but never stirred. That's right. So, I gotta take a visit here to the trailer park real fast. So let's hop over there. Okay, so now I know, these trailers were a couple of weeks ago, y'all, but that's okay. The first one I want to talk about, The Christmas Chronicles 2, starring Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Y'all did see the original Christmas Chronicles, right?
Loved it.
Yeah, that's the one where she fell off the boat and he found her and took her to watch his kids.
No. Yeah. Now, the funny thing with Christmas Chronicles, I remember first seeing it over at my aunt and uncle's house down in Springfield on a Christmas where I got very, very sick on Christmas, and as my wife was trying to drive me home, I had to have her pull over so I could get sick on the side of the road. So I didn't get to watch the whole thing. My wife, however, is not that interested in watching the sequel because she was kind of annoyed that she wanted to go to sleep and my cousins were watching the first one. So she's like, I'm not interested in watching the sequel of that one. I didn't even want to watch the first one. But if she watched it, she'd probably like it. But I don't know, she's got a bad taste in her mouth. But anyways, the sequel, which we heard was coming, finally we got to see a trailer. And this, it actually kind of reminds me a little bit of the Santa Claus series, where this is where they're going to, you know, like the first one was almost set in a bit of realism. The second one, now a lot more time at the North Pole, where we have a lot of bit of just, you know, Santa Claus kind of magic and fun going on. So I'm excited. This looks like a lot of fun. Plus, it's Kurt Russell as Santa Claus. Come on. The only thing you beat that is with Mel Gibson being Santa Claus, but that's a whole other different thing, which we can't talk about on this show.
My favorite of those Santa Claus movies was the second one for me personally. That's
yeah, I do love that one.
Yeah, that was good. But I do love Kurt Russell. I mean, like I said before, I got a whole collection of Kurt Russell films right here just set out. I love him. He's great.
Well, he got his start in Disney.
Disney? Yes,
Walt Disney, did. Actually. Yeah. had written his name down on a sheet of paper before he passed away, from what I'm hearing. I don't know how true this is, but this is like a legendary kind of thing that he had written his name down because Walt was really good at picking people who are going to be stars, including, Mouseketeer, and she was big, and I forgot her name.
Annette?
Yes, Annette. Walt knew she was going to be something special, and he knew Kurt Russell was going to be something special, too. So Walt knew how to pick them. He knew when people had just the right stuff.
They had the it factor.
The it factor, yes. Walt was good at picking them out. You have the thing. Yeah. Yes, and he's a big Rocky guy.
Come on,
man. Oh, no. The other thing.
Oh, yeah, the hand?
The thing from another world.
There you go.
That's right.
But this, I'm very excited about this. This will be opening, you know what, I believe it starts on the November 30th is when this one will be available for viewing. I'd have to look it up again, but I'm pretty sure that's when it was. Let me take a quick look here.
Hoping that this doesn't take place with having to infiltrate New York City or trying to find a green-eyed girl.
Or escape from Los Angeles. November 25th.
I hope it is more like Big Trouble in Little China, Big Trouble in Little North Pole, because that's my favorite movies ever.
Yeah. So November 25th, so part of this show, y'all might happen to hear me do a review of the movie, because I may have watched it by the time, because we're recording this a week in advance, people, okay, if you haven't caught on.
Oh, the secret's out.
The secret's out! So if you suddenly hear us do a review of this movie, don't be that shocked.
Yeah.
The second trailer, and I didn't know this was happening. I don't know how this escaped my notice, but there is a Tom and Jerry movie that somewhere between the Bullwinkle and Rocky movie and Space Jam, as Tom and Jerry exist as cartoon characters living in our world.
Wow.
Yeah, this coming to theaters in 2021 looks like just basically the slapstick fun, but here's... On YouTube, where they've put the official trailer from WD Kids, it says, one of the most beloved rivalries in history is reignited when Jerry moves into New York City's finest hotel on the eve of the wedding of the century, forcing the event's desperate planner to hire Tom to get rid of him and director Tim Story's Tom and Jerry. The ensuing cat-and-mouse battle threatens to destroy her career, the wedding, and possibly the hotel itself, but soon an even bigger problem arises, a diabolically ambitious staffer conspiring against all three of them. An eye-popping blend of classic animation and live action, Tom and Jerry's new big-screen adventure stakes new ground for the iconic characters and forces them to do the unthinkable, work together to save the day. Now, personally, I always enjoyed some of the... there was a Tom and Jerry television series where they were friends and had adventures together that I kind of liked that. Because to me, Jerry was always kind of the villain because I like cats better than mice, although I have had a pet mouse. But Jerry is usually doing what a mouse does when he's a household pest, let's face it. He's a household pest. So I was kind of rooting for the cat to get rid of the household pest most of the time. Jerry was the villain. Send me the emails now. Go ahead.
Well Tomcat, in the beginning, would pick on Jerry, even though that's his job, in the sense that he's the cat to hunt down the mouse. But they usually made it to where Tom was kind of the creep and Jerry wasn't. But eventually, they did eventually kind of run out of things to do, and they became friends.
Yeah.
So, let's see here.
Michael Pena is in this movie. Can I just say that? Michael Pena, I hope he gets to tell a story.
Yeah.
Okay, for those who remember Michael Pena from the Ant-Man films, he's hilarious.
Yes, I love him.
Yes, love him. Chloe Grace Moretz, Rob Delaney, Colin Jost, and Ken Jeong from Crazy Rich Asians, The Hangover, Transformers, Dark of the Moon. Isn't he in that TV show? Didn't he have a TV show where it's like a doctor?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Ken.
Yeah. I don't watch much TV. So I don't think I've actually watched him really in anything except for cameos. I think I've seen it pop up. But
he was a regular character on Community as well.
Ah, see, I haven't watched all of Community. I think I've watched some of it.
Well, you know, as long as this movie doesn't have Richard Kind voicing Tom, I'm going to give it a try.
Right. They need to be silent characters. It's a cat and a mouse.
But I will say, I saw this, and I saw Chloe Grace Moretz's character, and I couldn't help but think of Piper Perabo in The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes.
Almost the exact same look.
Exactly. Which is why I was definitely thinking Bullwinkle and Rocky when I watched it. But one thing I do want to hear, Tom has to have at least a little bit of voicing of doing his iconic scream.
Yes. Yeah.
Who did that? Do you remember who did that?
Nope.
Well, that was Mel Blanc.
Bill Hanna did that.
Yes. All the voices of Tom was William Hanna.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Him. Yep. Alrighty. I didn't know if you did or not.
I may have heard that once before. You've got a book about all this, though, don't you? You're probably looking at it right now.
I own just about every episode ever made. Now, let me ask, who do you say was directing this?
Tim Story. I've already closed the page that I was looking at.
I thought you said that. Let me see something about him real quick. If he is who I think he is, Tim Story.
He's done a Fantastic Four movie.
Jerry.
I was going to say. Yeah. He did the two Fantastic, the two of them that I liked.
Which, by the way, on Disney Plus. I did say the first one's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, they are. He did the Fantastic Four films that I enjoyed. And so I like him. And I read a lot of stuff that he said before that I really enjoyed. So if the films I've seen that he did that I appreciated, that kind of gives me hope. Because one thing I like about him is he tries to take the fun parts of comic books and cartoons and things and put it out in the film version. So
yeah,
hopefully Tim does that also with Tom and Jerry, the best that he could, you know? I mean, it is, after all, Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
And this I'll also say, a lot of times people used to talk about Tom and Jerry and they'd find a lot of negative things about it, but I don't know. Tom and Jerry's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I find fun about them. So, you know, I think they're fun anyway.
Yeah. So hopefully this movie is going to be a lot of fun for everybody. So, other things I want to mention that have had trailers within the last couple of weeks. So, WW84, Nolan's Wonder Woman 84, they have announced that there will be a Christmas release to theaters and also onto HBO Max. I want to go to a theater and see it, because I haven't gotten to go to a movie theater since we went to go see Bill and Ted in a drive-in.
Let's go see it, buddy. You and me.
We got to go. Because I've been looking forward to this movie. It's been, like, delayed for a year, I swear. And I want to make sure movie theaters do not go away. So I'm going to a theater.
Yeah, good.
And I've been to a movie theater on Christmas Day to see a Batman Mask of the Phantasm. I will go on Christmas Day if I have to.
Yeah, it's actually a Thanksgiving tradition for my family to go to a theater. Unfortunately, the theater that is 3 miles away from my new house has closed. They may be reopening coming up after the first of the new year, but I'm holding out hope that maybe they'll open up Christmas Day and show Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Well, I remember, like, on Thanksgiving, I don't know how often we used to go to a movie, but I remember we went to go see Oliver and Company 1 year on Thanksgiving with a bunch of my relatives. That was fun.
Well,
memories.
We know that Christmas time is when most people know that It's a Wonderful Life, so hopefully this year people call it a Wonder Woman life.
Yeah. Although, a lot of me, I gotta have a little bit of Soul, because Soul will be on Disney Plus on Christmas Day.
That's right.
Which is, I'm excited, but I'm also disappointed, because I wanted to go to the theater to see that one, too.
Me too.
That movie looks great, which, by the way, I did see on Disney Plus, there's a, what is it called, Inside Pixar, and they're a bunch of little short docu-shorts. Mm-hmm. I skipped over, I watched one of them today. I watched one with Dan Scanlon on Onward, but I saw one also where he talked about a pivotal scene in Soul, and I didn't want to watch it because I didn't want to ruin anything. So I would be careful, anybody who watches those, that they would be careful not to want to spoil anything from Soul, but be careful of that first one, because I'm not going to watch it because I was afraid to spoil it. But Soul coming out on Christmas, I've been excited about that one because that looks just a lot of fun. Seems to have a really good message of how life is worth living. And which is a good message, flat out. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to it than that, but I like that theme.
Amen.
Plus music, you know, come on. Also, we've gotten to see a second trailer for the Max Snyder cut of Justice League, which, honestly, how is it going to have gotten any better just because Max Snyder made a cut of it? Really, people, come on. Granted, I've heard there's some deleted scenes put back in, but I'm sorry, I'm not a huge Max Snyder fan.
Zack Snyder.
I wrote Max Snyder down in my notes. I can't believe I did that. Zack Snyder. Yes. Wow. I am not a Zack Snyder fan, though. So I'm like, why is it going to be any better?
Well, I always call him Hack Snyder myself. But that being said, I am going to watch it when I get a chance, I'm going to watch it, and I'm actually going to, and this is coming from me, not a fan of his, I'm going to watch it with an open mind, because I try to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch it with an open mind and say, well, you know, give him a chance, and not watch it with any snide mark, and but I'm still going to, I didn't mean like that, but I'm going to be really kind. I seriously doubt I like it much, but I'm still going to watch it and try, because who knows?
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, though, too. Here he's getting a chance to make another. This doesn't mean it was going to be the same film he was going to make. This is just a film he's making now.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Well, if you do happen to get an HBO Max account to watch this, let me know, because I want to watch that reunion of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I saw a trailer for that this week. It's an HBO Max exclusive as well. Because this Justice League, this is going to be an HBO Max thing, but so, of course, in The Fresh Prince. So if you get an HBO Max account to watch Justice League, we got to watch this Fresh Prince reunion, because I was excited for that one.
I'm going to do it just to watch those things with you. Yeah. So.
Plus, you can watch the Wonder Woman 84 with HBO Max as well. So.
Sure. We'll see. We'll see. What do we do.
I think you can even watch Sesame Street on HBO Max now. Plus, wasn't there? Oh, yeah, the new Tiny Toons, Tiny University is going to be an HBO Max exclusive. So. Yeah, Warner Brothers is going to move all their other stuff that isn't DC, I guess, over. Well, except for they're getting some DC stuff, because they already have their DC channel, but Warner Brothers is putting everything on an HBO channel apparently now, too, so.
In my opinion, if it were me, and if I was Warner Brothers, I would get together with someone like HBO like that, and I'd combine it all together.
Well, they own it.
Yeah, I'd put it all together.
Yeah.
Just me.
One big channel, kind of like Disney Plus.
Exactly. That's, to me, that's wisdom.
But it could be like,
they made it more
money here and money there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it would help if they made it a little bit more budget friendly.
Right.
That's exactly right, brother.
Indeedy. Indeedy. All right. Well, moving on from that, we need to have a virtual trip into Walt Disney World. So, all right, Eric, take us there. You got to go to Walt Disney World here a few times, mainly over the summer, but in a slightly more recent trip, you got to go and do some fun things over in the Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
Disney's Hollywood Studios,
honest,
it is still, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It and I'll be honest, it has been difficult to get into Hollywood Studios. You know, that is the park with the three newest rides in the resort. It's been tough. I know I've mentioned it previously on the show, but for right now, in order to enter any Disney park, you must have a reservation. You can't just have a ticket. You've got to have a reservation to go alongside that ticket. And for annual pass holders, we are limited to three reservations in advance. So if I want to go, I need to be able to say I'm planning on going to Disney Hollywood Studios on this day. And to be honest, I've had to cancel those trips a couple of times because the way that I travel, it's very last minute. It's very availability driven. And there are some times I've just had to uncheck that box and say I'm not going to be able to make it. But this time I did. We went in mid-October, just a real quick two-day trip out to Florida. And our first day was at Disney Hollywood Studios.
I have a quick question about the reservation system. When you mentioned like doing the three reservations, that means you can. I was for a second, I was afraid it was going to be like three people reservation. You can reserve three people, but does that mean like three different parks per day or whatever? Or I mean,
well, as of right now, you can only visit one park per day.
Ooh!
So the reservations that you make, you can say, "I want to go to Hollywood Studios on November 26th. I want to go to Magic Kingdom on November 27th." And I want to go to Animal Kingdom on November 28th. You'll notice I didn't say Epcot because that's a fourth park and I can't get a fourth day.
So you have to definitely do just like three at a time. Wow.
Exactly. Exactly. And then with Hollywood Studios being the most popular of the parks, the availability to go to Hollywood Studios is not quite as great as it is for the other parks.
Wow, who'd have thought the Hollywood Studios would suddenly become the most popular park? Because you would think the Magic Kingdom would be the number one.
Oh, and Magic Kingdom, I believe, is number two when it comes to popularity right now. But again, they've got the three biggest attractions right now in Hollywood Studios. They have their entire Toy Story Land, which opened up last year.
Right.
Last year. Then they have Galaxy's Edge Batuu, which opened last year. So there's another two rides. And then they opened up Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway back in March, just a week and a half or so before they had to close down due to the worldwide pandemic.
Yeah.
So one good thing that's on the horizon is Disney announced this last week, or well, 2 weeks ago now at the time of this recording, that park hopping will come back and will be available as of the 1st of January, 2021.
Yay!
So the benefit there is, you know, you still cannot state in advance which park you'd like to park hop to, but if I were to go to Animal Kingdom, and that's my reservation day on January 4th, and I do everything in Animal Kingdom. I ride Flight of Passage 5 times. I go on Everest 7 times, and at 2 o'clock, I can now go back into the My Disney Experience app and see if any of the other 3 resorts are available and accepting park hopping at that time. And I can sign up for it at 2 o'clock and then go there for the rest of my afternoon or evening.
That'll be a nice return to some sort of normalcy.
It certainly will.
Yes.
I'm the first to admit, I love Animal Kingdom. I love Epcot. But I have a hard time spending my whole day in either of those parks.
Yeah, I can understand that. Although I wish I'd have spent more time in Epcot because I didn't get a chance to do everything when I was there.
Oh, yes.
So
and maybe we can share my Epcot experience this last trip for another conversation since we are running a bit long on this.
To Disney and beyond!
All right, well, I will dive right into my experience at Hollywood Studios. You are able to park at the resorts about a half hour before the park officially opens. You go through security. You can go through the turnstiles. There's nothing that's formally open. However, because Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is the newest ride at that park, as soon as the gates opened up, they were allowing people to get into the queue for that ride, and they actually were running the ride ahead of their, I believe, 9 a.m., no, 10 a.m. Opening time that day. We were actually in the queue when the opportunity to do a boarding group for Rise of Resistance came up. Unfortunately, we were not able to get that. But we were still on track to get onto Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I think I've mentioned it before, when you're in the parks, you do need to keep your masks on. Mm-hmm. Even if you're standing in line and moving, you cannot take it down to take a sip. Well, you can just to take a sip of water or to eat a snack, but you can't be doing it for too long. You've got to be stationary when you do that. For the most part, they were doing good on making sure people had their masks on. There was one Karen-type individual in the line that was asserting her rights not to wear a mask, which was concerning. But you know what? That has nothing to do with the ride in and of itself.
Right.
The queue line was advertised as 1 hour and 22 minutes when we entered it. We wound our way through the courtyard of the Chinese Theater, where, of course, they've got handprints from all sorts of celebrities who have done Disney-related things. You wander back out into the main area. And I'll tell you, they've got that figured out. If you know Disney, they know how to hide their queues very well.
Oh, yeah.
Fortunately, it was not 1 hour and 20 minute wait for us. It worked out closer to about 40 minutes.
Nice.
Now, I never got to ride the Great Movie Ride, so I don't know in the lobby area or the initial area is the same or not. They have movie posters set up from all of these new Mickey shorts, like Yodelberg, the one that takes place on the Matterhorn.
Yeah, this is my favorite.
You've got you know, several of those movie poster type signs up throughout that entry. You do come to a place where you're invited to go into a small screening room. When they're not operating in pandemic mode, this screening room is actually your pre-show for the ride, where it explains that you're getting onto a train, that Goofy is operating it, and that Mickey and Minnie are nearby, although they're not particularly riding the train.
Who would with Goofy riding the train? You better stay off that train.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Goofy causes an explosion that then opens up this hole in the screening room right underneath the screen that you walk through to board the train.
I love it.
So as you board the train, Goofy's there. He's moving along. He tells you, hey, we're going to go to this park. And you see Mickey and Minnie drive up in full 3D right next to you into their car. And they say, hey, we're going to meet you in the park. However, their car hits a railroad switch, which sends Goofy off one track and your railroad cars down a separate track.
Uh-oh.
You get into the park, but you suddenly start going to all sorts of different destinations. There's one point where you end up under the sea. There is one point where you end up in Daisy's dance studio. There's one point you end up in the Wild West. You end up at a carnival. And the ride itself, while you've got these cars, which are not on rails, they are free-moving throughout the attraction.
Wow.
But they're also using projection technology all 360 degrees around you. So any way you look, there's something happening around you. There are at least two storylines. One storyline that follows Mickey and Minnie as they try to help get your car put back with the train. There's also a story following Pluto, who is trying to receive a picnic basket full of food items that Mickey and Minnie lost along the way. So, you know, if you're looking, you know, with one eye pointed to the right and another eye pointed to the left, you know, maybe you might be able to see both storylines going on at the same time.
Although you're going to be really odd looking.
Oh, yes. But it is a very immersive ride because you have this full 360-degree view around you at all times. And there is activity going on all throughout. It's really a wonderful use of the projection technology that Disney has been developing over the last few years. You eventually, you know, Mickey and Minnie finally save the day. You end up in the park. You rejoin with Goofy. And you are able to finally exit the ride. And again, it's a cute ride. This is the first ride featuring Mickey Mouse and Minnie. Yeah. You know, there have been other attractions like, you know, Mickey's Philhar Magic. But that's a show. It is not a ride. So it's a, you know, it is a first. And it's kind of surprising that it has taken 65 years for a Mickey ride to be to appear in one of the parks.
Yeah.
I've been saying this for years. In fact, the Great Movie Ride, they had a section with that he was in there doing the Fantasia, you know,
as Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah, and they had that, and I remember saying to my dad before when we were in, we took that ride. Only God knows how many times we were in that ride together. But I said, you know, I never understood why they can't give Mickey his own ride, and I mean the Mickey characters, you know, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Their own ride. And he said, well, son, he goes, I never understood it either, but it's only a matter of time.
That is true. Now, this is not the only Mickey Mouse attraction that has opened up at Hollywood Studios. There is also a movie done in the same style as these shorts. It's actually more of a clip show of these shorts. We did not have an opportunity to go in and see that, but it is sort of set up as a sequel to the ride. So very interesting.
Yeah.
But all in all, it is a fun ride. There's a lot to see. It's worth going on it more than once. And again, it's cute. It's in this Paul Rudish style that you know these new Mickey shorts have been released in, and it's you know it's cute and it's got a lot of fun surprises in it.
I'm looking forward to get a chance because with the McDonald's thing, they got the Runaway Railway attraction or like toys. I'm hoping to win. There's a contest to win four passes to go to Walt Disney World or a trip for four to Walt Disney World. So I plan to fix my not going through Epcot enough, and also I want to check this thing out. I loved the Great Movie Ride, but I definitely want to check out this new technology and this new ride.
Looks really cool. My only regret is, again, I never got to ride the Great Movie Ride, but there are a number of tributes to the Great Movie Ride inside it. Nice. I didn't catch all of them, but there was one that I did see. In the Carnival area, there is a roller coaster in the background that you can see, and near the entry line, or the entry queue for this roller coaster, there is a movie poster that says, The Great Moving Line. So
also,
definitely.
To you, Eric, I was going to say, one of the great things on YouTube, they do have, now I know it's not quite the same as being on the ride, but there are a lot of videos that people have taken of that ride. Mm-hmm. So at least it gives you a hint. You were talking about a while ago about being online and all that. You don't know what it was like before. One of the things in line before is they had a display. They had Dorothy's shoes and a few other things that they had in line.
They had a Mary Poppins horse I was there, too.
They did. They had, like, a hat, I think it was, and a few other things from different classic movies that are...
Narnia items. I remember there was a Narnia item.
Yes. There are a few things. Some of them were in the ride, and some were just really great parts of good, really good movies.
Yeah.
See, like the Star Wars thing, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember what it was, though.
Well, I know there was part of the ride that had Star Wars, so I don't remember seeing a prop from Star Wars, though, in the main queue. But I know they had a great little Star Wars thing, like during the, when they were showing the bits of like all the different movies through the years at the very, like the finale had a section for Star Wars. It was really cool.
One of my favorite things the whole movie movie ride was where they had Indiana Jones and Sala bringing up that Ark of the Covenant. Man,
yeah.
That was so great.
Yeah, really, they recreated a lot of great scenes. Even Singing in the Rain, Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Like Gene Kelly. That was great.
It was a great ride.
Remember that scene from Alien?
Yes, that was so cool.
Speaking of R-rated movies. Continuing the theme.
Well, but it was right there inside on the Great Movie Ride. You did have a little alien scene where they had Sigourney Weaver out there with a gun and alarms going off and aliens drop out of the ceiling.
That was great. That one alien came. That was great. A great scene.
Oh, yeah. That was creepy as heck, man. It was pretty cool.
When you took the ride, we went on it quite a few times, like I said. If you went on in one line, you would end up having an interruption where a gangster would come out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you went on the other line, it was a cowboy, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're either in the Old West or you're in a gangster or whatever the person came along. I think I ended up having a gangster when I went. I never got to see the cowboy.
I had both.
Awesome.
Ah, great.
Yeah. It was fun.
Well, and, you know, hopefully, maybe if, I don't know if you've heard of Defunct Land. It's a series of videos on YouTube, but he's also working to create a virtual theme park of extinct attractions. So hopefully that can be part of Defunct Land as well. And I'll get a better experience beyond the videos that are available on YouTube of the Great Movie Ride.
I need to catch up on my Defunct Land viewing. He's always got stuff.
However, that does take me to my fourth visit to Batuu.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And you are officially a Jedi now, or did you join the Sith?
Well, perhaps we should explain a little bit further. On Batuu, there is a junk trader shop. It's called Savi's. And there they collect junk metal, or scrap metal rather, throughout the galaxy. What they are not advertising, because they do not want the First Order to know, is that this scrap metal is being used to build the weapon of the Sith and the Jedi, lightsabers.
Nice.
Now, this experience comes at a cost of 200 Spira. Now, that is the credit that is used on Batuu. That's their form of currency. Fortunately, it also accepts Disney gift cards.
Nice.
The scrapper.
That's correct. So for the cost of 200 Spira, or dollars as it may be, you have the opportunity to build a lightsaber. Now, as you, it is highly recommended that you make a reservation to go to Savi. So you can make these reservations up to 60 days in advance. The caveat there is that you also have to provide them with a credit card, which they will charge, or they may charge the $200 to. You know, if you get there and you have a different form of payment you wish to use, not a problem.
Nice.
Again, you can use a different credit card. You can use gift cards if you have cash, whatever. But they do ask for your credit card on the reservation, because if you do not show up, guess what happens?
They charge you anyway?
Yes.
Ooh.
So,
there's a bounty on your head, right?
I guess
exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Well,
you get that tracking fob.
If in your case, to where you're something happens where you're not able to travel down, though, can you cancel before and not get charged? Okay.
Yes, you can cancel 24 hours or up to 24 hours in advance.
Okay. So that could have gone really badly if you didn't get a chance to actually get there.
Exactly, which again is part of the reason. What I did is because of my circumstances, I'm not able to, I'm not going to know for sure if I'm going to be there or not. So I don't want to put my family in that position where, we could be out that money.
Yeah.
So they do have standby available. However, it is not guaranteed. Mm. In my case, The last time we went back in March, I had asked if standby was available. They took a look at their records and they said, you're welcome to come back and ask, but for right now, we don't have any standby available. Now, post-COVID, they have limited the number of participants who can go in and experience this. So they're only taking half of the people in that they normally would. So reservation space is still extremely limited. Happily for me, however, they did have standby options available. We got there close to 10 o'clock, I believe. We said, hey, is there possible any way that I could buy some scrap metal today on standby? And they said, well, let us double check. Yes, we may have an opening for scrap metal at some point today. Let me get the numbers for your communication device, and we will send you a communication message when we know that we'll be able to accommodate you. So I gave them my cell phone. They sent me a quick text just to confirm that, yes, they had the right phone number, which they did. And me and my kids, we got in line for Smuggler's Run and went off and helped Hondo Onaka, with his legitimate business dealings.
I saw it. I saw the whole thing. Exactly. He reached up with his dead hand and signed it in his own blood. And he did it with this lightsaber.
Now, unfortunately, the pilots that we had for this experience with Hondo and Chewbacca, let's just say the pilots of the Falcon on this trip, Han Solo has absolutely nothing to worry about. Except for the Falcon coming back in one piece. That is the risk.
Yeah.
This is true, yes.
So, are you related to these pilots?
Yes, they happen to be younglings of mine.
Ah.
What a blessing. What a great...
One of them could barely reach the lever to take us into hyperspace.
Ah.
It's tremendous. What great memories.
Yes.
Yes, I'm the dad. I allowed the sacrifice on my part so that they could have the experience.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah.
That's the ticket, yes.
So after riding, we stopped and what were we doing? We got some blue milk.
Ah, there you
go. Gotta have some blue bantha milk.
Yeah.
And we decided to start making our way over to the new Toy Story Land. But as we were walking out, we saw that there was that they were taking photos, that there was a photo pass person there. And we were able to take a few photos of us with our hands pointed forward as though we were using the Force with the spires behind us. Then they asked us to stand up next to a wall and with a separation of about a yard in between us. So there was me and my oldest on one side and my two youngest on the other side. And when we got our photo pass back, some Jedi magic had happened. There was a floating pram along with a small child inside of it.
Oh, cool.
A small green child.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's grand.
So as we finished up with that, I then got the message that said, hey, please come over to Savi's. We have an opening. So I was able to go over. I traded in my gift cards. And they then advised me that I had a choice of four lightsaber styles to choose from. There was Peace and Justice. I think probably the one that looks most familiar would be something similar to what Obi-Wan had carried. They had one based on power and control. And this was a style that would... gravitate more towards the Sith. They had elemental nature, in which the pieces were made from like a rancor's tooth or from a space whale. And then they also had a type called protection and defense, which appears to be more in line with the style of the High Republic that we're going to be learning more about here within the next year, with gold elements into it. Well, I love the original trilogy. I love everything about Obi-Wan's. And I do want to add a caveat. If you do want to buy one of the classic lightsabers, if you want to buy Obi-Wan's or Darth Vader's or even Ahsoka's, or any that we have seen in the films. Those are available as a separate purchase, I think they range from about $150 to $175. They don't come with the Savi's experience, but you do have the opportunity to purchase those lightsabers if you wish. The thing about Savi's is you get to custom build your own lightsaber based upon one of these four types. One of the cool things about this is, I know, Jeremy, you've been playing Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, it's been a little while. I got stuck on that bat boss, and I went off to play something else.
Well, one of the things that you may know from playing that game is you can build your own lightsaber with
yes,
that game.
Yes, you can customize it. Oh, yes.
Guess what they use for those pieces.
Actual pieces on Batuu type of things?
Exactly.
Sweet!
Now, that saber is a little bit different because you do have a dual blade on it, so
yeah.
It has two emitters on it. But again, they give you the opportunity to select which of these four styles that you want. They then give you a pin that's equal to the style that you get. My pin, it's actually got gold and black on it, and it has the image of a lightsaber bolt on it. So already there's one little extra benefit that you get when you buy these lightsabers, is you get a pin with it. The pin helps the workers and Savi's identify what type of lightsaber you want to build. But again, it's a nice little collectible as well with everything else that is involved.
So is this like a wear, like a pin, or a pen you write with? But it's a pin you can wear?
Yeah, it's a collectible pin.
Like
the other pins that you get at the parks.
Nice!
You can collect them, put on a, collect and trade, and, whatever you'd like to do with it.
Awesome. For some reason, I was thinking like a lightsaber pen would be fun to write with, but yeah, having a Disney pin would be awesome.
I have a collectible lightsaber PEN pin.
Well, and with these pins, there's one for each of the four saber types.
Whoa.
So again, mine relates directly to, and I chose the Peace and Justice. So mine relates directly to the Peace and Justice, but there are different designs. There's one for the elemental nature. There's one for the power and control, and there is one for the protection and defense. So again, it helps the workers identify what type of saber you're going to build. But again, it's also just a nice, cool collectible to have.
Yeah.
You then wait in a courtyard for about 15 minutes or so while the other participants arrive and everyone checks in and pays for their saber. And then you're invited into Savi's workshop. You walk in, and it's dark. There's still enough light to see. You're advised what station to take. And again, because of social distancing with COVID, they have every other station available for you. And again, you can take one guest with you inside. In my case, it was my youngest. I needed an extra cameraman just in case. So as you walk in, you're met by the collector. It's not Savi, but it's one of Savi's workers. And he explains that, while we can't talk about it outside, in here we can. This is a safe place to discuss what it is that we do here and what we and how we do go about it. There's no worry about the First Order coming in here. And he explains that Savi and all of his workers have been going throughout the galaxy, finding ancient battlefields, finding different places throughout the worlds, that they have been collecting scrap metal, which came from lightsabers and can be used to build new lightsabers. Nice. They then bring out the crystals. They bring out kyber crystals, and they explain that there are four kyber crystals that we can choose from. One, blue, the color of Obi-Wan's blade, the color of Anakin's blade. There is red, the color of Darth Vader, Darth Sidious, Darth Maul. There is green, an elemental, which was the color of Luke's lightsaber, and the color of Yoda's lightsaber. And then there is violet, the color of Mace Windu, a color that covers both the blue and the red and indicates balance.
Hmm.
They then bring around the crystals, and they ask you to look in your mind, ignore everything going out there. What color calls to you? And you choose one of those four colors. I chose the violet. Something about that purple hue called to me. Now, like I said, I love the original trilogy, and my Peace and Justice blade is in the style of Luke's and Obi-Wan's sabers. But something about that purple just called to me, and so that's the one that I selected. They then brought out a tray, which has all of the pieces, and then some, for the saber that you are about to build. It is comprised of a chassis. In the chassis is where you place your kyber crystal. And once it's correctly installed, you hear it spark to life.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
You then take a look at the other pieces that you have been given. They are comprised of four sleeve pieces, two emitter pieces, two pommel cap pieces, and four sleeves. What you do is you pick two of the. I said sleeves twice. my brain here. Two activator plates is what I should say. And between the four, you choose two, which is what you're going to use whenever you're ready to activate your lightsaber. And they click on, and they go directly over the kyber crystal. From there, from the four sleeves you are given, you choose two, one to sit beneath the activator and one that slides above the activator. You then select your emitter. This is where the blade is emanating from. You have two to choose from, so you choose the one you prefer. And then the same with the pommel, what goes on the very end of it. The pommels are set up so that there is an additional belt utility that you can purchase from which you can hang your unbladed lightsaber bomb as you are walking. With that, they take your lightsabers and they place them into a... I'm trying to remember how it's referred to. They place it there. There is a blade lengthed covering, which is next to your station, and they place your lightsaber at the end of that covering. You are then told to switch on the activation plate, and as you switch it on, your lightsaber glows for the first time. The covers, which are translucent, fold into themselves. You may then lift your lightsaber, the emitter fully going. You then
accidentally cut off your ear because you didn't know what you were doing.
Yes. But you then hear a voice of Jedi's past to explain the importance of what you have just accomplished.
Hello. 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 Right here at my station number 10. All right.
Hi, this is...
All right. How are you, my friends?
Great.
Good. I'm glad you made it. And finally, you are here. Ah, the groom and the bride. Congratulations. We got bride and groom over here. Welcome. Glad you're here. Special time. It's a special day.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're all here. I think it's time we begin. What's your name?
Mason.
Mason.
Yeah.
Man. Got it. All right. Well, welcome to the workshop. I wanted to see your faces when you walked in, because I know the workshop, it's a little, well, it's a lot. But to us, this workshop is everything. Now, I know when you walked in, you were probably thinking, hey, that looks like a lot of old junk. But let me assure you, Mason, some of this is new junk. Okay? See, you met my companion, Anastasia. For me, where is she? Morgan, there you are. She always sneaks up on me. All right. Yes. Well, you may call me Kimbe. We are the gatherers. See, what we do is we search the galaxy, ancient relics. We travel to the forgotten places, abandoned outposts, battle-ravaged planets. And what we find, we bring here. So, where a wandering stormtrooper sees worthless clutter, those who know see priceless history. Now, I see the smiles in your faces, well, really in your eyes. So I will ask you, you have heard the legend of Luke Skywalker, right? You have heard of it?
Yes.
Yes? Well, we hear there's another one. A new Jedi. And her name is?
Rey.
That's right, Rey. And what she is leading is the spark of hope we, the Gatherers, have been waiting for. And that is why you are here, to build one of these, a lightsaber. The lightsaber has been wielded by some of our greatest heroes and darkest enemies. It is elegant and enigmatic. To build a lightsaber is an art. The saber is a reflection of its filler with the force flowing between them. And today, builders, you will feel that connection. But there I go, battling on like a protocol droid. Let's begin. We begin with perhaps the most important element of any lightsaber, the kyber crystal. Able to focus the energy of the force, to magnify it. Some say the kyber crystal is the heart of the lightsaber. The color of the crystal determines the color of the lightsaber's plasma blade. Did you know that, Mason?
I did.
Good. Well, let's talk about the color, shall we? Take a look. Blue, like the one wielded by Obi-Wan Kenobi and his apprentice, Anakin Skywalker. And now legend has it, Rey. Green, Qui-Gon Jinn, Ahsoka Tano, Master Yoda himself, Luke Skywalker. Violet, rare and beautiful, like the one wielded by Jedi General Mace Windu. Red, it has been called the color of power, and is the crystal of Darth Maul, Asajj Ventress, Darth Vader, now Kylo Ren. But these are stories of the past. We're here for you, the future, to look ahead. So now it is time for you to choose your kyber crystal, which will be the heart of your lightsaber. So right now, builders, do me a favor. I want you to clear your minds, forget about the outpost, the commotion out there. And now I want you to simply close your eyes and focus in your mind on the colors I say. Blue, green, violet, and red. And you will notice that one color shines brightest amongst all the other colors in your mind. That color calls to you. So now open your eyes and select your kyber crystal, which will be the heart of your lightsaber. Listen to it hum as it calls to you. Now, after you've selected your kyber crystal, carefully place your kyber crystal on the green crystal holder at your station. We will now connect your kyber crystal to the lightsaber design you have selected. We will begin by building your lightsaber's hilt. Now, that will be the foundation of your lightsaber, the center of your control, and the only thing keeping your hands from being disintegrated. You can always get new hands, but your original hands are always better. Lightsaber 101, the anatomy of your lightsaber. Take a look at your boxes. To the far left, you will see what is called your lightsaber's chassis. To the far right, you will see your activation plates and your controls. In the center, you'll find four different types of grips or sleeves. Then you move on to your very powerful blade emitters, and finally, your last line of defense, your pommel caps. Now, you will choose each piece to create your own unique lightsaber design. May the Force guide you. It is now time for you to build.
Welcome, friends. My name is Morgan. It's a pleasure to help you with your build. We're going to start with the chassis. Go ahead and pick it up. We're going to make sure these lines are pointed up. That'll be the top of your build. Next, grab your kyber crystal. We're going to slide that crystal into the center chamber. It should pop right into place. It'll light up your color, and you'll be able to spin the crystal around the wall.
Bottom.
Let me
How's it coming, friends?
I don't think I've got it.
You're almost there. Do you mind if I adjust it?
Yes, please.
There we go.
Thank you.
Excellent work. Do y'all see the blue and the red markers on your chassis? We're going to match those with the blue and red markers inside our activation plates in section 5. We're going to put red over red and blue over blue.
Red over black. What do you think, Dad?
Wow.
Wow. You're doing a great job.
Hello, friends. Can you sign up on your Switch for me? Let me double check something.
Okay.
It should make a start. I'm going to get you new Switches.
Okay.
Hello. Hi.
Did you have Violet? Yes.
Yes.
It might be a bad chassis. Ooh. There you go. Tricky decisions. We're going to trade.
Okay.
That's okay. We want to make sure it works well, right? Mm-hmm. So that's better.
There we go.
Now let's see if it'll make the next step. There we go. So when you slide up, that'll be how you activate later. Next, you're ready for your grips. The thicker edge will point towards the middle. We need one for the top and one for the bottom.
We're so excited. Which one will my father choose? He chose the top one. I think the top one was good, but you're doing the bottom one. That's okay because that's your choice. What do you think of that? What do you think, guys? Comment down below. And make sure to subscribe to see more of our videos. And click the bell button.
I'm just a little concerned that it does not seem to be lining up.
What do you mean? So it doesn't necessarily need to be straight. It all depends on the angle that you put it on as well.
Okay.
What color is the passport? Blue, why did you choose blue?
And then you're ready for an emitter to go on the top,
okay,
and then a follow up to go on the bottom.
I want to tell you about a blue kyber crystal. Your blue kyber crystal was probably carried by a Jedi. And it was considered blue kyber crystals, guardians of the right? So they would focus on lightsaber technique. They were the ones that went out frontline soldiers to protect the force.
What do you think? Do you like it with the gold accent?
Yeah, sure do. What do you think about it?
That looks better, that one.
I see you talking about your hilt. It's very nice. Very old hilt. Yeah, it's that predates the First Order, the Empire, and the Republic. What we do know about that hilt is that it's very old, but you should go highlights. Hold it up. Let me see. Hold it up.
This is so exciting.
Those gold highlights, they signify the status of the Jedi at the time. Yes. And the gold highlights would also match the robes of the Jedi when they were in plenty.
Hold up. What color is the kind of crystal?
Yes, certainly.
Red, the power crystal.
Everything seems superior. That's really good.
Of course, it's being put a lot
of hate and aggression on that crystal. Remember, this is your activation switch. When the base is activated, you're going to slide it.
Okay.
May the force be with you.
Very excellent work. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can we get this out of the way for you?
Jedi!
Here, Dad.
Oh, you got 10 fingers? I thought you were missing my finger this whole time.
I'm going to find it just a little bit more.
There it is.
I wonder what yours is going to be.
Good luck. Hopefully it grows faster. Well done, Gilbert.
Yeah, you know, this is good.
Okay, you feel very streamlined. I have a report for you, Rose. Okay, very good. You also tell something with a lot of history. Take a look at the shadow. See that mark right there? That is cartoons in the elbow. That was used for the Clone Wars. So the Jedi went from being peacekeepers to soldiers. A lot of history there. You also have a lot of history in yours. You see this one in here? That's the Bylar Corps. That's from Kashyyyk. You ever heard of the Wookiee? That's where the Wookiees live. They build everything out of wood, their ships and their weapons. You also chose the tooth of a Rancor. Builders, well done. I want you to do me a favor right now. Place your hands on the center of your lightsaber. And I want you to focus on your kyber crystal. Remember the moment you chose your kyber crystal. Raise your hands if you chose green. Counselors of the Force. Raise your hands if you chose blue. Guardians of the Force. Raise your hands if you chose red. Power crystal. And raise your hands if you chose violence. A mixture between red and blue, which means you can toe the line between the dark and the light side of the Force. Whatever you chose, we made no judgments. May the Force be with you. Please remove your hands and leave your lightsabers where they are. I will ask all builders and their visitors to please step away from your stations, clearing the area. We are now going to stabilize your crystals for activation. Now, this is a very dangerous process and must be done very carefully. My job as Kimbe is to make sure all the power cells are stable. As we stabilize your crystals for activation. Now, when they are stabilized, I will send a signal to make sure everything is in working condition. Stand by. What's happening?
Many parts silver. Now, joined they are. Yes, lightsaber. It begins. It is time. Your journey.
Master Yoda. Yes, it is indeed time. We are at the final stage. The bond between Builder and Saber is about to be forged. In a few moments, I will ask the Builders to step forward. Then, I will ask you to place your hands on your hilts. And on my command, and in tradition, you will activate as one. Builders, are you ready?
Yes.
Please step forward. Place your hands on your hilts and activate. Builders, please, raise your lightsabers high! You have built a lightsaber like the Jedi and Sith that came before you. Like them, you can change the galaxy. Remember, it only takes a spark. Now please, deactivate your lightsaber.
Complete your lightsaber. Like you when it can, but lead you, it cannot. Your journey, you both begin. May the Force be with you.
Thank you, Master Yoda. Builders, in your hands, you hold remarkable power. And remarkable power should not be dropped on the ground. So, to help protect your new lightsaber, we're pleased to present you with the Saber Sheath. In a few moments, I will dismiss you one station at a time. to collect your sheep and celebrate your accomplishments. Because our time here is at an end, but your journey is just beginning. It is time for you to make your mark on the galaxy. And remember, you are just as unique and extraordinary as the lightsaber you have built. And who knows, maybe next time, we'll be telling your story. Hold up your lightsabers and activate! Well done, builder! Please collect your cargo. I will dismiss you one station at a time. All right, stand by. I will dismiss this crew.
With a final farewell, the collector invites you to exit the shop and you receive a sheath for your lightsaber, which is very convenient when you're spending the rest of your day walking around Hollywood Studios or when you are boarding a flight.
Right.
But I'll tell you, when you have that opportunity and it clicks on, it is an indescribable experience. It is. This is something that I've wanted to do since I was a very young child.
Yeah.
And while there are lightsaber toys that you can purchase and there are lightsaber replicas that you can purchase, this is something that you have built with your own hands. Something that has a story to go along with it. And that's part of why it is worth what it costs to purchase one of these.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful experience. There are people who brings them to tears as they participate in this. Mm. The blade itself, you are able to remove it from the hilt. There is an additional sound that comes as you do that. You can hear it spark if you don't have the hilt in, or if you don't have the blade attached to the hilt.
Oh, neat.
And if you need to replace the batteries, they are easily accessible, though you do need to know how to get them out. But it's an amazing experience. After we built this, we met up with my other two children who had been in Star Wars or in Toy Story Land. We went over to the Star Wars launch bay, which is on the other side of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, we ran into one Mr. Adam the Woo there.
Oh, nice!
And said hello. And he said, "Hey, you really need to check this place out. They have got a speeder inside that is used in the films." Thought, I can't beat that.
Yeah.
But it was there that I first really had an opportunity to take my lightsaber out of the sheath, to light it up, and to listen to my kids go, "Oh, can I do that now?" Again, it was an incredible experience. We're going to share it with everyone on the show, but I would also like to invite everybody to go to my YouTube channel titled The Magic Skyway to get a view of this experience. Yes, I did have an 8-year-old cameraman assisting me, so there's a little bit of some, you know, interesting camera moves involved with it, but it really is a fantastic experience, and to be honest, I'm going to see if I can get another $200 in gift cards to do it again, because it really is an amazing experience.
Yeah, and I got to rank it above, like in the Harry Potter, Wizarding World of Harry Potter, they do have kind of a show with the wand, but one person just kind of gets randomly selected, and it will be a child who gets to participate in the wand picking them.
Right.
This being, if you have enough money, this anybody can have. You get to experience this. You're not randomly chosen, or you have to be a kid or anything. This is $200, build a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. And again, if you want to get, you know, one of these professional-looking lightsabers at the parks, and you know you don't have quite the $200, they do have the legacy lightsabers, which are available.
Right.
And again, those run from $150 to $175. And there's a line to wait for those as well,
of course,
honestly.
There is.
But, you know, they work on the exact same thing. Another great thing about Batuu is, yes, this experience gives you the option to choose one of four different colored kyber crystals. And the kyber crystals do a few other things aside from just light up and give it some sound. But you can also buy all four colors along with white and yellow there as well. So if you want to change the color of this lightsaber, you do have the opportunity to buy one of those other colored kyber crystals and do that. They're, let's see, I'm trying to remember.
I've heard that there's like actually even a black kyber crystal that's kind of randomly, you get lucky, you happen to get one.
Right.
I don't know how that works, but...
And there's even different varieties, because these kyber crystals also work with holocrons that you can buy there.
Oh, neat!
Both Jedi and Sith holocrons. And when you use the kyber crystals with those holocrons, you'll get a different voice. Mm. So using a blue one, you may get Obi-Wan. Using a gray one, you may get Yoda or Luke. Using a red one, you may get Darth Vader, Darth Sidious, cool. Count Dooku. There are different possibilities there. You know, years ago, and they still have this available, there is, you can build a toy lightsaber there. You can, you know, get the chassis and put sheaths on it and emitters and choose the blade. That's fun. Mm-hmm. But this, it immerses you in the experience. It makes you a part of the Star Wars story.
Someday, Abu. Someday.
Yeah, I do have to say, again, I was... very fortunate to be able to use gift cards for this. Several of my family members were able to help me out with birthday gifts and Christmas gifts. And, you know, my employer also has a benefit program where you can, you know, redeem points for gift cards. And that's where I've been able to be able to do this, as well as build my R2 droid on my first visit to Batuu. So I'll admit, they're not cheap, and these are not – cheap experiences, but they definitely bring you and make you a part of the story.
Yeah. So it totally would be worth it. Sure. But I see we are kind of running a little long, so we probably better wrap this up. So, yeah, thanks for sharing everything, because that's definitely something I'm looking forward to doing one day, is I got to make me a lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after, you know, I spent a little bit of time, I didn't really have time to keep up with it, but like Saber Guild, where we kind of learned cinematography style lightsaber dueling a little bit. That was a fun experience, and I did have to look into, you know, I needed to probably find myself a combat ready style lightsaber to where it was durable enough to clang with somebody else's. Never did get around to buying those, but there are some really neat things that you can buy online, but it still just not match the experience of being in that store. And building it.
And not just building it, but you're choosing the pieces that you want.
Yes.
And, you know, well, there's four different styles with, you know, two complete sets for each style. That's, you know, 16 different sets that you can build. Is that right? Yeah.
My goodness.
But, you know, it really is a wonderful experience that you know, ties into those nostalgic feelings that we have for Star Wars.
Oh, yes. And we have plenty of them. We have all of the feelings. But anyways, we better wrap this up. So we will see everybody next time. It's kind of nice to have 2 weeks in a row that we've had a show, which means I might take a weekend off. I used to be consistent every week, and now I'm getting kind of bi-weekly, and the COVID's kind of thrown everything for a loop. But we'll see you next time here in Neverland.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com. for our new ending music.
God bless.
Yeah! Hello, everybody. This is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.